To Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig on KBFT 90.1. We're doing the intro music a little different. It's like we used to do a fade down. Now we're just doing call me! Call me! Okay. I have a guest today, which is unusual. We will be taking phone calls later, but I think this will be really interesting. I have Dr. Diane Troutman. She is the relatively still newly elected county clerk. Just took office in January, won the November 2018 election. And as they say, elections have consequences. And we're going to see how much she has accomplished in the last almost 4 months. I like to do my little voter thing, so I'll let Diane hear it, and then she can critique how I'm doing with it. Make sure you're registered to vote. There is an election May 4th. It's a Harris County election, but it's not a Houston election. So you've got a lot of these small towns and cities in Harris County that are voting, and we'll talk about how she has increased access for voters for those elections. You can check your registration. You can check your voting precinct, which doesn't matter as much anymore, at harrisvotes.com. You can also, if you're outside Harris County, you can check your voting status and registration at votetexas.gov. And thanks to Diane Troutman, you now have countywide voting centers, not only for early voting, but for election day, too. You don't have to worry about going to the wrong precinct. Every polling place is, for practical purposes, the right precinct. We're going to talk about voter ID. I'm going to let her discuss that. But there have been changes in what is mandated for voter ID. Photo ID is still preferable, a government photo ID, but that's no longer enough to get you a provisional ballot as opposed to a regular vote. We're going to talk a little about voting early, so I'm going to wait for Diane to get on the line for that. And actually, I think now would be a good time. Okay, Letty? Diane, are you there?
I'm here.
I am so excited to have you. I mean, you are the classic example of elections having consequences, in my opinion.
Oh, thank you so much, Mike. Thank you for having me today.
So how is my... I mean, you didn't get the whole intro because I figured you're going to be here to talk about voting, but how did I do?
You did great. You did great, and the main thing you did was to send people to the website, harrisvotes.com. That is the best place to go for information.
If you live in Harris County.
If you live in Harris County.
There you go. Now, tell me a little, I talked a little about voter ID in the intro. It used to be much more photo ID, government photo ID, and it's not that nothing else was acceptable, but it was made really scary not to have photo ID, and if you didn't, you ended up with a provisional ballot, which you were concerned may not be counted. You've sort of changed that. Obviously within the strictures of state law, but can you tell us a little about what you've done with the voter ID situation?
Well, the law was changed somewhat for people who could not come up with the seven forms of of required identification, they could come up with something called a reasonable impediment form where you lost one of these. You lost your license or you just didn't have it. And you would sign that form, and you could use a copy of a government document that shows your address, a copy of a current utility bill, a bank statement, government check, original paycheck, or a birth certificate. So you would have to sign the reasonable impediment form, but you could use one of those other methods now.
Now, let me ask you a question. One of the reasonable impediments that some people feel is a reasonable impediment is simply not being able to get to a DPS office in order to register. Or I don't think you register at the county clerk, right? You register at the
DPS.
At the DPS. Some people have trouble getting to a DPS office. It's either the hours or the location or the transportation, or they're handicapped, or, you know, they're poor.
Sure.
Is that a reasonable impediment? And can they put that down?
Yes. I mean, you, as long as you sign that form that you don't have it. Elderly people do not renew their driver's license, so they don't have that anymore. And it's $16 to get that,
Right.
State ID. So, to me, yes, it would be a reasonable impediment.
Do they have to stipulate on the form what the reasonable impediment is?
Yes.
Okay. So then it becomes, is it a provisional ballot after that, or would it be a regular vote?
It's a provisional ballot.
Still, okay.
But that is cured then, you know, once they bring it back in, and then it goes before the ballot board to be decided.
Now, let me ask you a question, because I've looked for this in a prior election. I found difficulty finding it, and if it's on your website, I haven't looked. You've totally redone a lot of the website, and it's really good-looking and helpful.
Good, thank you.
You're welcome, because I try to dig into this stuff, but... how do you know if your provisional ballot was counted? I have not been able to find a way to see if my provisional ballot or my early vote has been counted.
You could certainly call our elections department, but the ballot board is the one who makes that final decision on which provisional votes are counted and which aren't.
Is there any way it could be posted on the site when those ballots are either accepted or rejected so that you don't have to make that phone call and, you know, go through all that?
Right, it could be, but many times those provisional ballots are not, you know, accepted till several days after the election. They typically do not make a difference, but it's possible they could.
We have elections like that.
Sure.
But, I mean, I think, for example, I'm over 65, which is going to lead to another question shortly, but over 65, I do a mail-in ballot, and I don't know that that ballot was actually counted in the last election. I couldn't find it.
You could definitely call our elections department and our mail ballot section, and they can tell you.
Would it be within your purview to somehow allow someone to search that on the website at some point when it's either, you know, thumbs up, thumbs down, or is that something outside of your control?
It would probably be easier just for the person who, you know, mailed in the ballot to call the mail ballot department.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe a phone number then for the mail-in ballot department would be helpful. I don't know that I've seen that. Okay. Great. You see how we accomplish stuff in an interview.
Yes.
Now, let me ask you another question. Mail-in ballots have to be requested annually for the election year.
Correct.
Now, I can understand in some circumstances why that is appropriate. But someone like me, I'm over 65, and unfortunately, I'll never be under 65 again. Why do I have to annually request a mail-in ballot?
Well, that's the law. And right now, in our legislative session, there is a bill up, and I forget the legislator who has it, to make all renewals 2 years.
Well, that's a start.
Better, but yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
People move. I think that's probably the biggest reasoning behind it. And, you know, so you wouldn't have accurate information there.
Well, I think that's true of any voter, whether it's mail-in or not, so that's kind of irrelevant.
It is. But a lot of these things are election code, you know, developed by the state legislature.
And it's why we need, why elections matter at Absolutely. Things like state legislature. One of the points I wanted to make in introducing you, but I do tend to wing this stuff a little bit, is that presidential elections typically get the highest voter turnouts, anywhere from 50 to 65%. State elections, sometimes around 35%, and strictly local elections, in my opinion, you can correct me, tend to be around 10%, with ballot bond issues and special elections getting as low as 1% or 2% turnouts. And yet, the local elections are the ones that affect your life the most, as witness the fact that, and we're going to be talking more about it, the changes you have made in access to the ballot. So how do we get the message out that we want you to vote in presidential elections, but we also want you to vote in state and local elections, and in effect, they matter more to your daily life, and you should be at least as enthusiastic to vote in local elections as presidential elections. Have you had any thoughts as to how to get that message out?
Yes, Mike, and actually you hit upon the real reason that I ran for Harris County Clerk. I was on the Harris County Board of Education, and that particular position on the ballot is at the very, very bottom of a presidential or gubernatorial race. And many times voters would not, well, they either would not show up to vote or would vote only halfway down the ballot and never get to our races.
Ballot fatigue.
And those for the races, those school board races like this, the Harris County Department of Education, that truly affect people's lives, children's lives, their parents' lives, their tax base lives more than anything else. And so that is what I have tried to get the message out to people. These local races are all important. And to do that, we have really stepped up our game on social media. We have a wonderful director of communication, Tanisha Hudspeth, and director of community relations, Roxanne Werner, who have both been working tirelessly to get that word out. Not just every once in a while on social media, but every day. On Twitter, on Facebook, you name it. They are out there getting that message out. As you said, we have also changed our website up to give people as much information as possible about the upcoming elections.
I think it's much clearer and more accessible. I mean, there's only so much you can do with so much information, but I just think it's much more visually appealing to go to.
I think the icons really help across the middle, just large, you know, pictures with the text under it. People have no doubt where they're going.
Now, I think a lot of people are confused about the difference between the county clerk and the tax assessor collector, because it seems like you register with one, or your registration data is with one, and yet the ballot responsibility and stuff is with the other. Can you help clarify that for some people's minds?
Sure. What we have in Harris County is a bifurcated office with the tax assessor, voter registrar handling voter registration, and the county clerk, myself, handling the elections. So the election duties for the county clerk include election judge training. We create the ballot. We set the time, the date, and polling locations for each election, which are approved by Commissioner Court. And we also archive election results and campaign finance reports for local candidates. We also have what I call the courthouse duties side of the office, and that would include maintaining records for civil, probate, and Commissioner Court, as well as personal records like birth, death, marriage records, and then real property records. So there's really two major duties, and that is maintaining the records and running the elections in the third largest county in the nation.
Now, I think on your homepage now, you have that recording the major events of your life page.
Yes.
I think that was very informative. You know, I came into today expecting that I would have to sort of ask that question, but really if you go to the homepage for the Harris County Clerk, that's the clearest explanation I've ever seen in summary of what your job entails.
Good, good. I'm glad to hear that. You know, I look at it one way, but, you know, I see it all the time. So it's always good to have an outside pair of eyes on it. So I'm glad to hear that.
Now, one of the biggest changes you've made, and I'm going to kind of lump them together, is early voting locations, early voting hours, and especially the ability on election day to go to any polling place that you can reach without worrying about whether you're in the wrong precinct and your vote may not count or a provisional and you have to chase it down and some people just decide, the heck with it, I'm not voting. you have made an enormous change, obviously with the rare consent of the Texas State Legislature. You have been able to change that in a really fundamental way. Do you want to talk about that some?
Sure. Well, extending the early voting hours was something actually very simple to do. I just did it. It required no approval whatsoever.
Aren't those the easiest things?
I wish it
things.
Was all that easy.
It's better to ask, what is it? It's better to ask forgiveness than permission, I think, is the old saying.
There you go. But that was easy to do. And, you know, having experienced many, many elections as someone who worked from 8 to 5, you just don't have time to vote unless hours are from 7 to 7. So that first week, that was the first thing we did, was extend early voting hours 7 to 7. I campaigned on the issue of what's called voting centers. What used to be called voting centers is now a countywide polling place program. And I did that for about 2 years. So I was telling people this could be done. It is definitely a possibility for Harris County. And I knew that this was another issue that did not have to be approved by the state legislature and probably was the most doable right after extending early voting hours. So all we needed was approval from Commissioner's Court and approval from the Secretary of State. The only problem is I took office January 1st, and the deadline to have your application into the Secretary of State for the May election was February 18th. So we hit the ground running.
Yeah.
And we attended the very first commissioner court meeting, let them know what we had in mind, and they told us, you need to go do more community outreach. So we did. We went to about, we held about 7 other nighttime community outreach meetings about the countywide polling place program, and overwhelmingly people were in support of it. Then we took it back to Commissioner's Court on February 12th with just 6 days to go till the deadline for Secretary of State and got a unanimous approval with all 5 votes in favor of bringing the countywide polling place to Harris County. So then 6 days to get the application into the Secretary of State, which we did with my outstanding team, and we waited about 2.5 to 3 weeks almost, but it felt longer than that,
Yeah. And
finally did get approval from the Secretary of State to implement the countywide polling place program in the May 4th election. So we are very excited to bring this to Harris County voters, and I think it's going to drastically improve voter turnout and the voting experience.
I'm going to do a quick station ID. You're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. My guest today is Diane Troutman. She is the still, I think, newly elected, just since January 1st, county clerk of Harris County clerk. And we're talking about the impact her job will have on you in terms of records that you have to take care of, like property, and particularly things like voting registration, voting places, access to ballot, etc., which is sort of a pet concern of mine. You can support KPFT by going to kpft.org. You can check out programming and news, and you can click on the donate button if you're in the mood and send us some money. We are tax deductible. And if you don't want to send us money today, you can still help us by telling friends about KPFT and the shows you like and suggesting they sample them. That's a great way to help build KPFT. Okay, I am back with Diane Troutman, Harris County Clerk. And let's talk a little about the upcoming election on May 4th, because this is a little unusual for Harris County residents to kind of see this big hole where there are no polling places, and it's like a head-scratcher. Could you explain that?
Sure. The May 4th election is what we call a joint election, and it includes 23 different entities, each with a different ballot. These are certain school districts, municipalities, and MUD districts, so smaller elections. Each one of these 23 entities decides their polling locations because they each pay for a part of the cost of the election.
Mm.
So, and there should be, you know, where they want it to be and what they decide. So what happens is, it's not countywide, it's not citywide, and they're spread out all over, almost all parts of the county, except for the southwest part of the county. There's nothing there. And none of these entities wanted a location there. They wanted their locations right in their jurisdiction.
Although you did manage to put, I think, what, three locations near downtown?
We did.
I want to point out also that if you just go to the website and choose a sample ballot, that can look very intimidating. But you can actually punch in your specific information and get a ballot for your area. Is that not so?
You can. You just put in your address, your name and address, and then it will print out a ballot just for you. And I would really like for voters to go ahead and get in the habit of doing this, because right now I think maybe there's two or three races. Some of these elections for May 4th have one question. But when we get to the longer ballot, I want voters to be in the habit of filling that out all the way, taking it with them, so we can make the process go as fast as possible. You know, we don't have a straight ticket voting anymore.
So you can do deliberative selections and then just go there and go down the entire list.
Exactly.
I think if there is anyone out there who wants to ask Diane Troutman some questions or make comments, I think we're probably at a point now where we can do that. The number is 713-526-5738, 713-526-5738. I know one of the questions that comes up to me a lot is the question of election integrity. You know, voter fraud isn't as much of a problem as what we suspect is election fraud. So what are you doing, what are you working on, and what kind of timeline might there be in terms of perhaps replacing the current voting machines in Harris County with something that is more determinative, paper trail, recountable, those sorts of things?
Well, that was another one of my campaign promises, that I would definitely look at replacing our current machines with a machine that produced a verifiable paper trail. Now, there are two obstacles to that. And I said I chose, you know, the countywide voting centers over anything else because it was the most doable. There are two roadblocks. One is we've got to make sure we do the research to find the very best machines that will be best for Harris County voters. And number two, we've got to find the funding for that.
Right.
So we are currently researching best practices for new machines, and we've already met with two of the major vendors in Texas, Hart InterCivic and ES&S. And we've looked at both of their models that produce a paper trail. Travis County will be implementing their new ES&S model that produces a paper ballot in November, so we will be closely monitoring how that goes. I think it's it gives us a benefit there of watching to see, you know, if there are any glitches or any problems there. When we met with Hart and the ES&S, they showed us their models that produce a paper trail, but I would also like to look at other models that are currently available on the market. So we have a national conference coming in Houston this July that will have a trade show where the top vendors for voting machines will be showing their models that produce a paper trail and others. After seeing what is available on the market, we will then create a citizens advisory committee comprised of local community groups, voting rights groups, and political parties to give their feedback on the different models.
You know, when they have that show, if I could get a press pass and an invitation, I would love to go and see that. Maybe we can talk about that.
Okay. I think that would be very good. I would like all of the media to come in and see. You know, we get kind of tied up in Texas with one particular model, and everybody kind of goes that way. Right now, I think we've got to be very careful because things change rapidly in the world of voting machines.
Yeah, I would love to see what's on the market. By the way, I want to make sort of a call out. You talked about the great staff you have. I think one of the main reasons that I invited you on the show today and that you are here is your director of community relations, Roxanne Werner. I had emailed her on like a Friday or Saturday about some comment I had on the website, I got a response. Actually, it was about the countywide voting. I had heard about it, and it was like, gee, that's different. Is that true? So I emailed your office, and Roxanne had an email in my box practically first thing Monday morning. That impressed the heck out of me. I mentioned it on the air even, because that's just the kind of responsiveness I am not accustomed to. It's like, 48 hours, 2 weeks, something like that. Maybe we'll get back to you. And the conversation with her, I mean, she was really responsive. She was really on the ball. And I really do want to publicly thank Roxanne Werner for enabling this to take place. I mean, she was terrific.
Well, she is terrific, and I am very lucky to have her on my team, I can tell you that. And no, she gets right to things right away.
Well, that was wonderful. Remember to keep me on that list for that trade show.
Will do.
You're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. KPFT.org is the station website that you can go to get information on shows and people and hosts, and you can go to archives. And, of course, my website is thinkwingradio.com. You can also go to my Facebook page, which, weirdly enough, is called Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig, and you can follow me on Twitter at Think Wing Radio. And if you have any questions for Diane Troutman, Harris County Clerk, you can call 713-526-5738, 713-526-5738. So the machines you're looking at currently, to what extent will they be digital or computerized, and to what extent will they be manual and or paper trail? Or at least what's in sort of your guideline in terms of your preferences?
Well, the two that we've looked at now, the HART and the ESNS, would be very similar to, well, kind of like what we have now, the eSlates, except it would be a touch screen, and you would be given a computer card or ballot as you come in, and you would do your choices on the touch screen, and then you would insert your ballot, and it would print it out, and then you could see your choices, and that's very gratifying, I think, for many voters that already have this. And then you place that ballot into a ballot box. Now, one of the problems is, so far, our ballot in Harris County. So we are unique among all other counties because we are so long and we have such a long ballot. And the problem is it would take more than one page to print the ballot out. Then you are in the problem of having three pages that the voter needs to walk to the ballot and make sure all three pages get in there. That is not optimal. So we need to find something that will be able to print it all on one ballot, one card, one long sheet of paper, without it being such small print that you can't read it. So these are things that come up. But the touch screen will definitely be better. I think most young people today have a fit when they see the e-slates that you...
Now, the funny thing is, I actually, if I have to have an electronic ballot, I understand that on the one hand, the current ballot system we have is a little clunky with the wheel selector. Mm-hmm. But I've also had enough experience in my life with touch screens to know how critical calibration is.
Yes.
And, you know, we have had elections that may have hinged on how well calibrated the touch screen was in various counties and states around. So... How would you deal with a touch screen where you have thousands of them and they all have to be sufficiently precisely calibrated so that what you touch is what you get?
Well, this is part of the research that we're doing now. This is why this phase will be longer than anything else in selecting the new machines. We want to know every possibility. So ESNS and HART and whoever else, I think Dominion is another one that I haven't seen yet. They'll have to answer those questions. How will they guarantee the calibration on the touch screen? And not all of them have that. There are other methods, too, besides the paper trail that we may want to look at. And I know people do kind of, you know, make fun of the e-slates, but they've pretty much been a sturdy standard. I believe that they will see us through the 2020 presidential election, but after that, it will be time to introduce our new machines.
Okay. We have a couple of callers. Would you mind taking them?
Sure, that'd be fine.
Okay, first caller is Scott.
Hi, thank you. Well, I hear a lot of complaints from some people on Facebook about the DNC. I think
We're talking now about the Harris County Clerk.
Yeah.
So I think we want to stay on topic for that.
Well, maybe she can answer. Okay, I think that means the Democratic National Committee. Do they really vote in lockstep?
Oh, I'm sorry. Apparently, we lost Diane. Somehow we dropped her. So I guess until we get her back, you can go on and maybe ask your other question.
Yeah, it's some 200 people. People seem to be talking as though they voted in lockstep and supported Hillary Clinton in lockstep back 2 years ago. And I'm very skeptical of this.
Well,
but I don't really have a lot of interest about them.
Well,
maybe Diane Troutman does.
Okay, do we have Diane back? We have Diane back. Okay.
Hi.
Diane, were you able to hear any of that over the radio, or does Scott need to rephrase?
Not at all. I was cut off.
Okay. Scott, you want to try that again and see if this is anywhere in Diane's wheelhouse?
Okay. I hear a lot of complaints about the Democratic National Committee, or at least they call it the DNC, and they seem to think that committee votes in lockstep. Is that really true?
And Diane, if this is not in your bailiwick, I don't think you need to respond to it.
No, that's really not. We just deal with running the election in Harris County.
Now, as far as running the election, the parties, when they're running primaries, it's a little different from a general election, and maybe in a vague sort of way that could address a little of what Scott is saying. How do the local parties interact with your office in terms of setting up their primaries?
Well, of course, they do select election judges, and, you know, they run their primaries. We just, you know, assist them, you know, with the machines and everything. What we really want to happen for this 2020 primary is to hold a joint primary. That will make life a lot easier for all of us, I believe.
Joint in what sense?
Joint that they will be held at the same location.
Ah, okay. Now, I remember.
Would that be like California or Washington?
I'm not sure what they do in California.
I think he's talking what is commonly called a jungle primary.
Yeah, the jungle primary.
No, I think she's simply talking about having the primaries in the same places as opposed to each party being in a different location.
Okay, you know, I wouldn't really like having a jungle primary in Texas. I think the Republicans would dominate. I think it would be a great but progressives and gay people and other groups at great disadvantage.
Well, now, I think Diane, by virtue of her job, has to some extent, remain nonpartisan.
Correct.
Yeah.
So I don't think she can really respond to whether a jungle primary is a good or bad thing, or whether it would be more Democratic or Republican or conservative or liberal. That would put her in a position to question the honesty of the way she manages elections, I think.
Okay.
All right.
I think I'm finished.
I appreciate it, Scott. Thank you so much.
Question.
Okay. You know, once before you were in office, I had called to find out why it was taking so long to get a sample primary ballot on the website. And I spoke to, I think it was the second or third in command of the office at that time. I wrote down his name. I don't remember. And he was basically very nice, but very defensive. And it's like, we have nothing to do with that. We have to wait for the parties to give us the ballots. It's not that we're delaying it. It's that we have to wait for them. So do we want to talk about why it sometimes takes a while to get a ballot online and how it's not necessarily your office's fault?
Well, you know, and I don't want to place the blame on anyone except that there are deadlines that do have to be met. And that's one thing we've been working with the parties early on. My new director of elections, Michael Wynn, has been meeting with them. We've been including them in our community advisory board. We want to be on the same page with them and make sure they're aware of our deadlines, like June 30th is an upcoming deadline. when both parties have to submit their list of election judges for the upcoming elections. And as long as they stay on those deadlines, everything goes fine. And the same thing happens in primaries. There are very, very serious deadlines that have to be met before we can go forward. So as long as there's a good job of, you know, communication between both parties and our office, I don't foresee problems like that happening.
Okay, you're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig on KPFT 90.1. My guest is Harris County Clerk Diane Troutman. If you have a question relating to anything that her office does or a comment related to anything her office does, we are staying on topic because we have a guest. And that number is 713-526-5738, 713-526-5738. Letty, our next caller is Wayne. And Wayne, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Okay, what's on your mind?
How you doing, Ms. Troutman?
Oh, we lost her again.
Oh, my God.
Okay. So, hold on. We're working on getting her back. Maybe she's calling in. Let's see. Okay, well, I don't want to have dead air on. So, Wayne, why don't you just talk to me for a moment until we get Diane back?
Okay. Well, it's kind of like three questions I wanted to ask you, and the first one would be that now that they're talking about buying those, maybe looking at what she said was looking at the new machines and seeing, you know, what's gonna maybe best, right? The problem with that is I want her to be in that she's running this election thing now. I want her to give.
Okay, Wayne. Sorry, Wayne. Call back. We're just having a challenging day. It's all right. You know, it's not the end of the world. We're okay. All right. So, Diane, you back with us?
I'm here.
Okay. Well, we're just. It's electronics. What are you going to do? You see, now this is the problem with electronic voting. You never know what's going to happen with electronic voting. You might drop the line. You never know.
You are correct in that anything and everything can happen in an election. There are so many moving parts to an election, any election, large or small, and you have a human factor. We have humans running our elections.
Yeah. So, how inconvenient.
Yeah, things are going to pop up no matter how well you plan. And we have an excellent elections department who has planned very well, but always there'll be something.
Yeah, always there'll be something. A couple of the things that I found interesting, and I did send those to Roxanne, is there were a couple of articles that I found on you from NPR. Well, not specifically you from NPR. There was a Chronicle article from April 6th. About your creating these countywide voting centers. There's also an article that I sent to Roxanne. I don't know if you had a chance to look at it, by NPR. And the title is, After Democrats Surged in 2018, Republican-run states eye new curbs on voting. And they had several states specifically singled out, of which one was Texas. Do you have awareness of what kinds of battles or legislations are being tossed out in this legislative session about making voting easier, harder, different?
Well, surprisingly, or maybe not surprisingly, several bills have been filed to either outright do away with countywide polling programs in counties, or just make it more difficult to hold countywide polling place programs in counties. Also, of course, Senate Bill 9 is really the most concerning, and most voting groups and have said that it could result in jail time for people who just make a simple mistake.
Yeah, I saw that in the article, and
they just don't understand. I mean, a lot of people.
Oh, I think they understand perfectly.
Yeah,
I'm not going to give them the benefit of that doubt. I can understand why, on a public level, you would. But, I mean, none of this stuff is accidental.
Right.
You know, it's like, what do they say in police work? There's no such thing as a coincidence.
Right.
I think that the record shows that if they're trying to make voting harder, they disallow straight ticket voting. They apparently are trying to disallow poll-wide or county-wide voting. They're trying, I mean, you know, it's not a coincidence, and they understand perfectly. But I'm saying that, not you.
Okay. Yes, you are.
Okay. So have there been, is there any legislation pending that looks like it has a chance to pass that you feel could impact future elections after this session ends?
You know, the countywide polling place program bill, actually, I think it's already had an addendum to it that would grandfather in counties that have already been approved for countywide voting, so that's good. But there are some large counties like us, not as large as us, like Bexar County and Dallas County that want to do it, and I don't think that's fair to them. You know, I think there are a lot of large countywide county clerk organizations, election administrator organizations who are weighing in on these bills and letting the legislature know this is not going to work. But, you know, anything can happen. And the closer we get to the end of the session, things will start moving.
Now, if there are proposals that will impact Harris County, and if some of those might go to court in terms of contesting them, is that something that the clerk's office would do, the tax assessor collector's office, the county judges? Who, if anyone, if ever, would be responsible for contesting some legislation as being in some way unfair or discriminatory?
Right, to Harris County. If it was filed, you know, against just Harris County, that would be our county judge that would handle that.
Okay.
So they would have to, or if they named, you know, the Harris County clerk in my official capacity, that would have to be something specifically with, you know, elections. I can't think of what that would be.
I guess many of these cases would be brought up by NGOs, non-governmental organizations, like
right.
the ACLU, for example,
right.
as opposed to some kind of government office disputing.
Right. But, you know, I mean, the problem is definitely the law.
Yeah, the
I
problem.
I am sworn to uphold the law, whatever it is, and whatever bill gets passed, no matter if I think it is unfair or fair or what can be done. Again, I can, you know, alert these larger organizations and voting rights groups, you know, what I think and how it will impact Harris County. But that's all I can do. I must follow whatever the law is. So we just need to make sure that fair election laws are on the books and stay on the books and just do everything we can to, you know, make voting simpler and more convenient. Not make it, you know,
harder
to jump through.
What you had brought up, what you had mentioned, was this proposal that I think is in the state Senate, you said, to make it a felony mm-hmm. to make essentially even an honest error, like
right.
a zip code on filling out your election your voter application. Would you consider that, and can you say whether you would consider that a case of attempted voter intimidation?
Well, to me, I mean, that's just, it's making such a simple mistake into a felony offense, the jail time. That's just way beyond what we need to do to encourage people to vote.
Yeah, I mean, it would appear to me that what they're trying to do is intimidate people from registering.
And that, of course, is our, you know, tax assessor and voter registrar Ann Bennett's jurisdiction, and she has to make the call on that.
Right.
But I, you know, it goes together so closely and affects, you know, the number of voters that actually turn out to vote. And in Harris County, some of those percentages you gave were very high, actually.
I was going from memory.
Yeah, we've had an average for presidential anywhere from probably 30 to 50. So it's, you know, this last November 2018 wasn't presidential, but it was higher than most any before it.
Yeah, I guess for the presidential, I was thinking national turnout. In Texas,
yes.
I know we have one of the lowest turnouts for pretty much any election.
We do. This May entity election on May 4th, we project a 6% turnout, which would be on par with previous May elections.
Now, I will point out, remind listeners, that you can go to harrisvotes.com and you can find your specific ballot. It doesn't have to be the sample ballot for all of Harris County, which is a lot less intimidating and a lot simpler. Hours have been expanded at early voting locations. You can find early voting locations. There's an obvious link for it on the website. Tell us again the easiest way to get to that website, or tell us for the first time.
Sure. It's harrisvotes.com.
Okay. And that, I guess, now that I think about it, that can take you to the whole Harris Clerk site. There's a link to take you to that as well, is there not?
It is. You want to go to elections instead of the home page.
Right.
Take you to the clerk's page. And under the elections tab, you'll find a tab for early voting, which I also want to remind people and voters that we piloted a new program. It's called a voting wait time link that is on website by the list of early voting locations, and they'll have either a green light, a yellow light, or a red light by each voting location for early voting. And of course that means no line, green light, short line, yellow light, and red light go to another location.
That's kind of revolutionary. Where was that first done?
Actually, our new election administrator, Michael Wynn, had it in Travis County, which, of course, is a smaller county, but we knew we could do it with early voting because we have 46 early voting locations typically, and we could do it with that few. Now, when it gets to be election day in a November election, that would be hard because there'd be 746 locations.
Boy, to the extent you can do that, that's a great tool for load management.
Yes, and it tells us a lot of data, too, about the most used locations as well, or maybe where we need another location.
Boy, it's wonderful to hear a clerk actually talk about adding locations. That's
and we are
not so common around the country.
We are looking to add anywhere from 4 to 6 locations in the next 2 years. Probably we'll be adding at least 2 to 3 locations this November.
Well, I'm very, very excited. Let me mention, we are taking calls. We still have a few minutes, and the number is 713-526-5738. We are trying to stay on topic with Diane Troutman, Harris County Clerk, 713-526-5738. You're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig on KPFT 90.1 FM, and Harris County Clerk Diane Troutman is my guest, and she's live with me. Now, I'm trying to remember, I know that Houston, at least nominally, has nonpartisan elections. I forget whether your position was considered a nonpartisan election or if you were able to run with a party affiliation.
Yes, you have to run with a party affiliation for this. However, one thing I said on the campaign trail was, yes, I will be running under the party of my choice to get elected. But once I am elected, I believe that this office needs to stay neutral. After that, you should not have anybody be able to tell that you prefer, favor, or endorse any candidate that is on the ballot because you are the person counting the votes.
And what that really boils down to is doing the job you're elected to do, which is not to be a partisan in terms of trying to manipulate an election, but as we have discussed earlier in this show, that while you are a member of a party, you've chosen not to mention, so I'll respect that. But no matter which party you belong to, your job is honest elections, effective elections, accessible elections. That's the job of the Harris County Clerk, regardless of the party. That should be the job. And expanding accessibility to elections and adding clarity to elections and making information easier to access, like the improvements to your website. And all of that, regardless of the party of the person inhabiting the office, that is the job. And what we need is more of that.
I believe that's true. For both the Office of the Tax Assessor and Voter Registrar and the County Clerk, and I know she does a great job at staying neutral as well.
Well, I very much appreciate the time you've spent with us. I think you've given us some great information. Are there any other things you would like to touch on that I have not thought to ask you?
Sure. We
thank you.
We have done a few things on that courthouse side that I was talking about.
Okay.
We created a more gender-neutral marriage license.
Yes.
That has just gone out this week, actually. So if you are getting married in the future, you will have a new marriage license. We've also created online election judge training modules.
Nice.
So a lot of the complaints that we got about election judge training was, gosh, we have to travel so far just to get a refresher course. Well, now you can go online and get any one of our training modules as a refresher course.
That's great.
So there's that. And I just want to remind people to be sure and vote. Let's prove the predictors wrong that we get a higher turnout than 6% in this May election. And I just want to remind them to go to the website at harrisvotes.com to find out if they're eligible to vote in this election and to find their ballot and a list of polling locations. And I would also like to remind them that they can vote at any voting location on Election Day in Harris County.
And as someone who grew up in New York, you know, there are parts of the country where there are stronger or weaker voting cultures. In New York, there's a very strong voting culture. It's kind of like teaching religion or politics. You know, whatever your parents do, if they show that they mean to get to a polling place, the children who might actually go with them, they'll come to believe and come to feel viscerally that voting matters. And missing an election makes them feel bad. And it's up to every parent to get their children into a voting habit. And even if they're not old enough to vote, to bring them to the polling place and make them see that this is something a lot of adults do, and it's something as an adult that perhaps you should do. And I mean, this is a multi-generational effort to just build that voting culture.
I think that's true, and I think by the reverse of that, young first-time voters need to ask their parents if they've voted yet, too, and take them to the polls.
Yes.
If they need to.
Guilting is a perfectly legitimate way to get things done. Parents do it to kids all the time, so turnabout is fair play.
True.
Okay. I really want to thank you. By the way, just while I'm thinking of it, when is that trade show? What approximate time of year?
Actually, I do have the dates. It's July 14th through the 18th. A Monday through Thursday, and I believe the trade shows are open like in the afternoon of each of those days.
That's perfect for me because I keep vampire hours.
Okay. Well, great.
That's terrific. I'll look forward. Okay. Thank you very much for spending time with us.
Thank you, Mike.
And I hope we get to talk again.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, you've been listening to Think Wing Radio. I'm sorry. You've been listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. My guest has been Diane Troutman. If you missed any part of the show, I would strongly suggest, because it was mostly conversation with her, I would strongly suggest going to kpft.org, going to the archive, and listening to this show. It'll be on the archive for 60 days. I think there's a lot to be gained if you missed any part of the show from listening to that. And I think you can even download it as a podcast now. I think that we have actually advanced to that level of sophistication where we do something I do not understand. But apparently it's possible. So kpft.org, you can go to archive.kpft.org is a direct way to get there and just look up Think Wing Radio and pick your dates. I was very, very excited to have her on the air. If anyone wants to get in a last word, the phone number is 713-526-5738, 713-526-5738. There has been so much news about the Mueller report and the unfortunate bombings in Sri Lanka and, you know, Trump. It's really enough to take your breath away. It was kind of nice to be able to do a show where that didn't have to matter, or I didn't have to read through that stuff. I have to tell you, you know, sometimes I make the joke that I watch the news so you don't have to. Sometimes it's a legitimate chore to try to keep up with events because it's just like you want to turn it off. And I get that. But as an informed citizenry, you have to do what you can. And I get that some people just can't watch the news. But you have to find a way to keep yourself informed. You have to find a way so that when candidates are running for an office, they can't do the etch-a-sketch thing like Mitt Romney talked about in the 2012 election, where his campaign manager said, well, you know, now we're running for the general. We don't have to run to the right-wing crazies. We'll just do the etch-a-sketch and start over and don't pay any attention to anything we said before, because most people don't. Most people really only pay attention to an election or a primary maybe 4 weeks ahead, and they don't know what the history is of a candidate or a campaign. So these kinds of things matter. Staying informed to the best of your ability. And that's going to vary from person to person. But voting, and you can't know everything about every person all the way down the ballot. On some level, you have to rely on either party affiliation or endorsements. I will tell you that one of the endorsements, one of the places I go for endorsements is, I think it's caucus.org. It's either caucus.org or caucus.com. It's actually the LGBT website, and they are great in terms of assessing the more local candidates, especially. And their endorsements are not necessarily gender-based. They're not necessarily based on positions regarding LGBT issues, although that's obviously going to be a factor. But they really do go through a question-answer session with candidates that are willing to engage with them. And I have found that they are very, very helpful. I wish I could remember the exact site. Letty, do you recall, is it, you know, I should just look it up. Now, this is what we're going to do. We're going to look it up. I think it's the caucus. The caucus. Houston. All right, I'm looking this up on the air. I'm trying not to do dead air here.
It's
thecaucus.org. Thecaucus.org. Thecaucus1word.org. I mean, there are obviously other places. You know, you can look at the Chronicle. You can look at League of Women Voters. You can go to various websites. If you're progressive, you might go to union websites and see what their endorsements are. But I have found that thecaucus.org, they review Republican candidates, they review Green and Libertarian candidates, they review Democratic candidates, and I have found their information to be very helpful, very useful. Okay, that's it. We're ready to call it a show. You've been listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig on KPFT 90.1 FM. I want to thank again Diane Troutman, Harris County Clerk. Very informative, very helpful. And I ran across a nice quote from a basically unknown person, Israel Moore Iyavor. Contrary to popular opinion, leadership is not a reserved position for a particular group of people who are elected or appointed or ordained or enthroned. Leadership is self-made, self-retained, self-inculcated, and then exposed through a faithful, sincere, and exemplary life. And I think that's kind of a nice thought, and I think we'll end with that. Have a great week. I'll see you next Monday. Bye-bye.
Where freedom rings and singers sing. Where Robert Earl Keane meets Martin Luther King. From jazz, justice, peace, and rap. R&B, sports, blues, and comedy. From heavy metal standing hand in hand with our chants. We shall not be silenced by fearmongers and sycophants. The place where your neighbor is on your airwaves. A true community. Celebrating diversity in thought, music, and love. Where your stories are told in unison. The most loving words that we can say, and we say it so bold. This is 90.1 KPFT Houston. Welcome home. Thank you.
Human trafficking is modern-day slavery, and it happens in our own communities. Victims can be any gender, age, or race. Join the Department of Homeland Security's Blue Campaign to learn how to recognize and report this heinous crime. Visit our website at www.dhs.gov/bluecampaign.